I would like to say, first of all, of course, a very warm welcome, and also for taking your time in these COVID times to talk to me. And as I usually do with all my interviewees, I always start by giving them a chance to introduce a bit how they got into shipping in the first place, and what is their background and leading up to their current role. So if we start with you, Christian, how did you get into shipping?
Sure. So I joined Maersk in 2009 after graduating from university, and as you probably remember, that was a relatively tough time in the economy, right at the end of the financial crisis. So I was lucky enough to join Maersk as part of the graduate program, and then I haven't looked back since. Basically, I spent most of my career overseas in Mumbai and Singapore. Most recently, 5 years in Singapore, covering Southeast Asia, and then I returned here to Denmark, almost to the day, actually to the day, 2 years ago. I stepped into this role as head of special cargo, and then the last 2 years it's been keeping me busy, and not least with Corona and so on. The last year it's been extraordinary times.
Okay, good to hear your story. At least you've been outside Scandinavia, so that certainly warrants a certain respect and experience. Very good to hear. Espen, about you, what's your background in shipping? How come you ended up there?
Yeah, good question. I started my career in shipping back in 2004 for another Danish company called Blue Water Shipping. Spent 6 years there, a couple of them in Houston. Where I also continued to be a part of, going to get on board this, the Danish breakbulk operator called Scantrans at the time, who then later merged with Intermarine. So I've been back in Denmark since 2013, and joined Maersk 3.5 years ago. Okay. in the role of special cargo. So I've been doing projects basically since I moved to Houston in 2007. So.
Okay. Very, very good. It's you both have an international background, and of course that helps in the global world. And I understand that you have a freight forwarding background, so you have seen the other side of the table.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always good to see several sides of the same coin, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
A couple of questions. In the past, you know, OOG cargo, or let's say breakbulk cargo, was never transported on container ships. Although I know that some started it many, many years ago, and you are one of them. I think you have some history there, don't you, in Maersk Line?
Yes, absolutely. And as you see on our background, I've actually pulled up one of our old pictures. This one is from the 70s, I believe, when we moved some fire trucks into the Philippines, donated by the US. So I've been in the archives. You can say, in a way, for Maersk, it all started out actually before the containerization. You can say everything was special cargo back then, and then we continued on actually when we started containerizing. For a while we had geared vessels who were able to do break bulk in the old-fashioned way, and then also starting to do it on flat racks and open tops and so on, which is then the vast majority of what we move today in terms of special cargo.
And would you say that it's a regular business for you nowadays on most trade routes, break bulk cargo by container ship?
Yeah, I mean, if we talk about out of gauge and in gauge, we move that pretty much every week on every trade. It would be a rare occurrence where we have a sailing where we don't have some on.
Right.
You can say break bulk, so something that's not unitized at all is a little bit more infrequent, but we still do those every week across our network.
Okay. And I understand, even though you're the biggest carrier in the world and certainly can stand alone in many ways, you are part of an alliance, or you have a partner in the alliance. You are together with MSC, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, 2M. So does it mean in practice, let's say I come to you with an inquiry of a break bulk piece, then of course you prefer to put it on Maersk own, since you can control the planning. How does it work? Can you explain that?
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe more your area of expertise, Espen. But I mean, you can say, generally speaking, we have agreements with our alliance partners on the big east-west trades. It's 2M on some of the north-south trades. It's other carriers, but of course it is a little bit more cumbersome.
There shouldn't be a difference for our customers, right? I mean, if it's one or the other, the ships.
No. But this is quite clear. You book with Maersk, and of course, ultimate control is your own port captains and your own ships. I mean, it goes without saying. So, no, definitely, I hear from the market also that you do have a good name, and if anyone, we always joke about that in the networks that I represent. What do you do if you need 150 flat racks in Valparaiso? Who has it? Well, there's only Maersk Line. So you have some really top-notch recommendations there. One thing that is coming to mind, and which of course is a lot in the news nowadays, the role of the ship owner is changing. Some forwarders are ship owners themselves. Some ship owners also, let's say, go ashore. How do you see your role? Will you be a one-stop shop with a new, let's say, rebranding? Damco has disappeared. Where do you see the role as a forwarder that comes to you with cargo, for example? How do you see them? You still see them as customers, of course.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking for special cargo, it's a very important customer group for us. And a lot of the activity we do is working with our forwarder customers. And as you know, when it comes to special cargo or project cargo more broadly, there's a lot of things to it, and many of these forwarders bring a lot of capabilities along with them that we don't have today. I think what we are focusing a lot on is how we can use the online presence to actually offer more seamless products online to our customers, and that's within project logistics. It hasn't been an area that has been explored that much. If we look to the general cargo side, you can do pretty much anything you want online today.
Yeah.
For various reasons. I mean, one of them being that there are more complexities in project logistics. This is only really starting to take off right now, and that's something we are investing a lot in. So when it comes to out of gauge, we can actually provide a quote in most cases within 3 hours online. That is competitive. So I think looking at it from a freight forwarder customer angle, that's really attractive because they can very quickly get a rate that they can use to go to their customer. They don't need to call up anyone or send an email and then wait for whenever somebody have time to respond. They can go straight on Maersk.com and pull their rate. Okay. And we hope that we can take that broader, for example, to inland transportation, CFS, those kind of things.
Okay, that's really impressive. I mean, what a development since the old days. And I think everyone has to play a role. But I think taking good care of the customers. And these days, who knows who secures the booking in the end? So let's assume that there are five forwarders who, as you know, your market, they come to you with the same inquiry. You would then give the same rate to all five, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay, and of course. Let's say the size of Maersk and the size of some of the mega carriers makes it perhaps a little, let's say, worrisome for some of the smaller forwarders where to start, where to begin. We can't really send an email to headquarters. How have you divided your, let's say, OOG and special cargo quoting system? I suppose you have regional branches that can quote themselves, or?
Yeah, maybe. I think you can speak to that.
I think there shouldn't be a difference if you're a customer sitting in Paraguay or in China for that matter. I mean, if you go on Maersk.com and you get a rate from that part of the world. I mean, you just enter your details, basically your POL and your POD, and then you get a rate, of course, based on that. Other than that, we have some regional people sitting around the areas that helps us out. We have in Europe, of course, we have India, we have Dubai, China, US, and so forth. So we also have some specialized people sitting across the world, helping out customers and other people that need more information about special cargo and that has questions wants to have a broader discussion, we can also help with that, of course. So it's
okay, so
not only a computer interface.
No, I was just about to say, so it is possible to reach somebody on the phone.
And you can say in a way, Bo, that the beauty of the online channel, of course, is that doesn't discriminate between, you know, if a customer sits in say Hamburg, you know, you have a lot of opportunities to go and talk face to face on the phone with carriers. They have salespeople, a lot of people on the ground. If you're sitting in a more remote location, it becomes more difficult. That's to me the benefit of the online solution, that you get the same degree of service. Of course, for our customers, it's still a question of, okay, but what about if it doesn't work, or if I want to negotiate, or where do I go from there? And there we of course aim to then have salespeople available who can pick it up when needed.
Okay, clear. Just as a rule of thumb, and I suppose also with your break bulk background in Scantrans do you need a drawing all the time, or dimensions, or let's say a picture would be enough? Is there any rule of thumb that, let's say, the forwarder or the customer should provide you each time in order for them to get result from you quicker? What would you say on that?
Yeah, I mean, so specifically for break bulk, I mean, of course, we understand that customers sometimes looking for budgetary quotes as well. They may not have a picture. So of course that will also, you know, we will take that into account, of course, when we quote it, but of course dimensions is always needed, of course, and weights. It's always needed. So the more details the customer have, the faster response he should also be able to get. But of course there is a drawing problem that we can have, right? We don't ask for that every time, because we also understand the customers may not have it because the cargo has been produced or whatever it is.
Now it's as you know, I'm so-called chairman of a couple of networks of forwarders, and I also try and push my members not to waste the ship owner's time. I mean, they want a quick quote. They also have to do a bit of legwork themselves instead of just sending some lazy note. Can you please quote on this? And then they complain afterwards why they didn't get a quote when they don't provide the information. So it's a two-way street. Forwarders should do more to give you enough info so you can quote quicker. I think it's not only one-sided. So, and I'll continue to teach my members on this. One thing, the COVID is on everybody's lips, not to mention that we hope there's a vaccine soon, but business-wise, is it happy days in shipping, COVID notwithstanding, or how is the situation bulk and OG in Maersk?
So I think generally speaking for shipping, it's happy days, you know, in the sense that you've seen the results coming out from us and other carriers. It's going well. Behind the scenes, you can say in our workings, however, it's also very, very hectic, because what COVID has done, aside from forcing a lot of us to work from home and so on, is also to, creating sort of like a butterfly effect in the network, where getting our equipment where it needs to be, assigning space in the right way and so on, has been very, very difficult because it's been so unpredictable. I mean, we started the year out with what looked like we were staring into the abyss, and we were wondering, will we even have anything to move next month? Then it turned out it wasn't that bad, and it has then, in the second quarter and coming into now year end, it has really, really picked up, which is great, of course. It's great for the world because it shows the economies are doing well. It's great for us because there's business, but it's difficult, right? In the best of times, when you have an India rush and you've been able to plan for it, it's difficult. Now, things are happening week by week, and trying to steer equipment and vessels and berthing windows and these kind of things have made it difficult. You can say for special cargo, on top of that, you've then had difficulties in some ports with labor, where they've had COVID restrictions and some of the manual work needed on loading and lashing and so on has been slowed down. So on top of all the usual difficulties, we've also had to work around that to keep our customers' cargo flowing.
It's a complex world we are living in now, but definitely it's good to see that the ship owners, with all the investments you've had in not only equipment and tonnage and brand new ships, that you're also seeing a healthy recovery now. It's let's say, time to pay off the banks for some of the ship owners.
You can say. Indeed.
But very, very good. One of the final questions I have for you, and it's not, let's say, directly OOG and breakbulk, but just a quick question, because I've noticed with interest that you now have a combination of shipping possibilities from Asia via Russia into Europe, where you combine rail and sea. That's quite quite innovative and impressive. I mean, some ship owners for breakbulk talk about the Northern Sea Route. Espen, you know about that, of course, from your past. Can you just, if you know a little bit about it, can you enlighten us a little bit about that kind of route? How does it work? It's mainly for containers, I suppose.
Yeah, so if we start with the train route, I think Espen can talk more about the North Sea route and the shipping aspects of it. But talking about the train route, then yes, that is indeed exclusively for standard containers today. Yeah. Okay. And I mean, you can say it is a more expensive solution, but what it gives, of course, is a transit time advantage because it is several weeks faster than the sea route. So what we actually see is a lot of customers, what they like is the combination. So it's rare that they go 100% on the rail because that's just not economical. But, you know, it is that opportunity to say now we have this product that's promotional or a product launch or something. Then we steer that over to the rail while all the regular stuff move on the ships. So that mix is where we've really seen the pickup on it.
Okay. I mean, it's good. I like to see that it's innovative and it's not just Hamburg to Shanghai 7 days a week. You know, you do develop some new products. And of course, I've interviewed Maersk before also for some of your Africa services. You do get around. I mean, I would say you are certainly the only, shall we say, true global carrier. I don't think there's a place where I haven't seen some of your containers when I've been traveling. So
there you go. I think we also, you know, we spend a lot of resources on developing new products as well for our customers, right? So it's not just one ocean product, as you say, from Hamburg to Shanghai anymore, right? There's different choices you can make as a customer now, where you can. Yeah. You can choose different products, and you can, you know, to differentiate your to your needs, whatever way that suits you. Yeah, I think that's also something fairly new, right, in the industry that we are trying to develop something like that instead of just being a, you know, and
you know, I can see certainly some changes. It's good to see that, shall we say, Maersk is, you know, approachable. You know yourself how big it is, and everyone in shipping know how big Maersk is. So it can sometimes be overwhelming with the size, but it's good you are approachable. You can be reached by phone, and even that you give yourself time for this little online newsletter to be to give your time here to answer some questions.
It's our pleasure.
But I want to say, really, from Project Cargo Weekly editor, which is myself, of course, many, many thanks to both of you. It's been a pleasure, and I think you answered very clearly and concisely. And I now plan to publish it in one of the coming days after your approval, and then hopefully there will be a lot of response. So thank you very much, Christian.
And thank you both.
Yeah, and thank you to you, Espen.
Yeah, no worries.
And I hope we can meet, let's say, formally with a drink in hand after office hours, of course.
Yes.
Or at the Breakbulk conference soon.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like a world that's far away now, but hopefully soon we'll be back.
I certainly hope so too. Thank you very much, and I will now push the stop. And to all our readers and viewers and listeners around the world, this was yet another great interview with the Big Blue, also called Maersk, the biggest in the world, and certainly one with industry leadership, both in the past and now. So we thank them and stay tuned for further interviews in the near future. Thank you.